good morning. It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Friday morning, September 30th. I'm Steve Cole, live in our Carbondale studios with News Director Gavin Dahl. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Steve. Carbondale's new city market is delayed again. Trustees voted this week to approve a deadline extension for closing on the property, now projected for February 2017. Sadly, the search for missing hiker David Cook has been suspended after 8 days. Cook, a 49-year-old white male from Albuquerque, was last seen over a week ago in the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness area. The Pickens County Sheriff's Office was one of a dozen agencies and organizations that teamed up to attempt to find the missing climber. More public interest groups are coming out against Amendment 71, the so-called Raise the Bar initiative on this year's statewide ballot in Colorado. The backers of proposed fracking regulations, Yes for Health and Safety Over Fracking, have discontinued their efforts, and volunteers have joined the opposition to 71. The state's largest progressive organization, Progress Now, announced yesterday they are opposing Amendment 71 as well. Executive Director Ian Silveri said in a statement, quote, "Making it harder to qualify measures for the Colorado ballot without effective campaign finance reform will not reduce the attempts by special interests to modify the Constitution. All it does is raise the price tag to qualify, ensuring that only the wealthy and well-connected can afford to participate in the initiative process, rigging the system for big special interests and against ordinary Coloradans," end quote. Other groups announcing their opposition to Amendment 71 this week include the state's largest environmental organization, Conservation Colorado, plus the Colorado Fiscal Institute, the Bell Policy Center, Colorado Common Cause, and conservative group, the Independence Institute. Jessica Goad from Conservation Colorado said in a statement, quote, "Amendment 71 is the wrong choice for Colorado and for our efforts to enact policies that protect our environment and public health," end quote. Colorado temperatures could get a lot hotter in coming decades if global greenhouse gas emissions stay on their current course, according to new analysis by the Rocky Mountain Climate Organization. Eric Galatis reports.
If global greenhouse gas emissions continue unchecked, cities along Colorado's Front Range will see hotter summers and more powerful storms and wildfires, according to the Rocky Mountain Climate Organization. Its new analysis says by 2050, the Denver metro area, which rarely tops 100 degrees, will see an average of 7 days a year above that marker and over a month of extreme heat later in the century. Stephen Saunders, the group's president, says the climate would be fundamentally different.
By the middle of the century, Denver summers could average as hot as El Paso, Texas has been in recent years. And if we have sustained periods several days in a row that are over 100 degrees, we've learned from other parts of the country that people can die.
The study projects Boulder could be in for nearly 40 days a year above 95 degrees by mid-century, with Fort Collins at 24 days. The Boulder and Larimer County analysis was funded by the Colorado Department of Local Affairs to help counties most affected by the state's recent flooding and wildfire disasters prepare for increased risks driven by the changing climate. The group's projections used multiple climate models based on two possible emission scenarios, business as usual and rapid and sustained global reductions. Saunders warns if no action is taken, it's clear Colorado will get hotter. He notes the full impacts of climate change will depend on what happens going forward.
But if we bring down emissions globally, we can really keep from having climate that we can't cope with. We can keep the extent of change within something that's manageable and still keeps Colorado a great place to live and work and play.
Saunders thinks the EPA's Clean Power Plan is a good first step toward tackling CO2, but more will need to be done, including reducing methane waste from oil and gas production to reach climate goals set in Paris. A federal appeals court on Tuesday heard arguments from states and businesses seeking to block the plan. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
Rifle and Carbondale are considering removing an outdated loitering law from the books. For this week's news brief, KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh talks to Rifle Citizen Telegram editor Ryan Hoffman about the law and why it has to go.
First of all, thanks a lot for joining me, Ryan. On the 22nd of this month, an article of yours was published about how Rifle is amending its loitering law. What is the loitering law that Rifle and Carbondale are looking at?
These loitering laws basically made it a municipal offense to loiter for the purpose of begging. For example, the Rifle ordinance categorized as a Class C municipal offense, which is punishable by a maximum fine of $100.
And how old is this law?
My understanding is, at least in rifle, had been on the books for some time, but very rarely used. In its entire existence, had only been used four times, and the last was in 2012.
The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, came out with a list of Colorado municipalities with outdated ordinances, particularly taking a look at this law. Talk about that list.
Yeah, so they sent that out very end of August, and it was basically, calling out these 34 municipalities in Colorado, Rifle and Carbondale being two of them, for having what they refer to as outdated ordinances. And these followed a successful challenge to a similar law in Grand Junction. Court ruled around this time last year that the law was unconstitutional and, therefore striking it down.
Do we know why the ACLU decided to take a look at this?
Oh, well, they were the ones that challenged the Grand Junction law. As for why a year later they decided to publish this list, they didn't go into detail.
The Rifle City Clerk, Kathy Petoskey, told a rifle police officer not to enforce this loitering law in 2015, even though it was still on the books. Why did she do that?
She said, after being asked by the officer about it, she had done some research and in a case found an amicus brief that basically said, we don't believe this is constitutional. So going off of that, she informed the officer not to act on that. And then it was within a matter of weeks, at least in the timeline she provided to city council, that the ruling on the Grand Junction law came down. She somewhat got thanked for being a little ahead of the curve, I guess you could say.
Right. Do you know how it came up that the rifle cop contacted the city clerk about this law? I mean, I just question why the clerk had the authority to tell the rifle police officer, no, you can't enforce that law.
It's somewhat strange, and it may be evident in the fact that it was only used four times, and the last time was in 2012, but we don't have a whole lot of people loitering out in rifle, so I'm curious as to why it was put on the books in the first place. Rifle doesn't strike as the type of place where this would even be an issue. Typically, homeless people and people you might think of as the ones who would panhandle are closer to more centralized services, which just don't exist in rifle.
Rifle is now considering an amendment to the city code to decriminalize panhandling. But the Petoskey situation occurred last year in 2015, just before the Grand Junction case and the ACLU case. And do you know why Rifle City Council has taken so long to act on this?
It's unclear why there was this delay. Carbondale also took the approach of not enforcing the ordinance after the ruling on the Grand Junction ordinance. And it wasn't until after this list from the ACLU came out that Carbondale did a similar thing in amending their code. What it really means is, at this point, it looks like just a technical cleanup of the municipal code.
Thanks, Brian Hoffman.
Thank you, Amy.
That does it for this week's news brief on KDNK. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
Ryan Hoffman's editor of Rifle Citizen Telegram will link to his very interesting article from our website. For KDNK News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Top health insurance executives answered questions this week about why premiums in Colorado's individual market are rising so rapidly. The Colorado Division of Insurance hosted the discussion. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Next year, health insurance premiums are slated to increase an average of 20% statewide, but in some regions it'll be as high as 40%. Democratic Summit County Commissioner Dan Gibbs helped organize people to attend the meeting.
This has obviously created a state of emergency for many families in Colorado.
Insurance companies say the increases are a result of rising health care costs, primarily due to increases in pharmaceutical costs and also people using health care more frequently. Colorado's insurance commissioner, Marguerite Salazar, says the individual market is still volatile.
It's not gotten better. My goal has always been to have stabilized rates, and it's just not happening.
About 450,000 people in Colorado buy health insurance on the individual market. Others use Medicaid, Medicare, or get it through an employer. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.